every night before I fell asleep, and every morning when I woke up, and having that as a permanent fixture before me, I think really influenced lot in who I am to this day. And we need to be people of character, people of integrity that do the right thing no matter what the cost. Now, this last week, many of you were here on Wednesday for the Bible study, great Bible study. I wasn't here. And you say, why weren't you here? Well, I had an issue very similar to this to deal with. I had to travel to Puerto Vallarta. It wasn't a vacation. It was not a vacation. Spent hours with a family who had run away from their city because their son had committed a terrible crime. And sitting there going round and round with this very point of how believers have to do what's right regardless of the personal impact. And when we do what's right, my friends, we will always reap a blessing. And just so you're aware, I didn't force any issues on that. I said, pray about it. Think about it. We're going to be in contact. I contacted them the next day. They were still praying about it. I contacted them the next day, and they were still praying about it. Yesterday, they confirmed with me they don't have transportation. I have to travel back there. I'm not going to be here again Wednesday. I'm going to be meeting with that family early morning to be able to travel back to their city, taking them to the to turn in their own son. It's a big deal to obey God. So I won't be here again Wednesday, but Ed's doing a great job, so be here in Bible study. And what we're going to be talking about this morning is the fact that we have blessings when we walk in the truth of the light of the gospel. When we allow the word of God to be our source, to be our governing body, that we're not led by emotions or even what good intending people may say at a specific time. The entire point of the book of Ruth, which we read this last week, is to specifically talk about this theme, the theme of character. And if you missed it in reading through, because it's a fascinating story, what is actually the point being made there and what is being instructed to the body of believers, us, through reading that book and throughout the entire Word of God, is that character always counts and people see our character. And it's demonstrated in the book of Luke in three different lives and three different personalities. And we're going to take time to look at the three different personalities, the main elements, the main characters of the book of Ruth this morning. We're going to start by looking at the life of Naomi. Now, Naomi is the one person that we can state without exception that represented the side of lack of character. And I can demonstrate this for you in a number of reasons. But what we see from the very beginning in the life of Naomi is that she's not somebody that actually follows through. She and her family are not somebody who follow through with what they say. They may say something, but you don't know if tomorrow they're really going to do it. How many have ever met somebody like that, that you can't trust their word? And in Ruth chapter 1, we start off with this verse. It says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was famine in the land. And actually what it says here, in the days when the judges ruled, the original would give you the idea that there was no king and everyone did what they wanted, what was right in their own eyes. And so here we have a situation where what appears to be right in the eyes of a person is not right in the eyes of God, but they do it nonetheless. And it says, so a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for, there was famine in the land. So we have a problem, right? God's given them a land. God said, this is your promised land. I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people. And here you're going to live and you're going to live in obedience to me. And what happens when there's famine in the land? It says, so a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. And so they leave the country. So one of the elements that we could pick out right at the beginning is of good character is that they actually do what they're supposed to do. Even when things don't look right, when it feels wrong. And just like the father of this would-be assassin, I'm sure at night beforehand when he came to this realization, there was a battle in his mind and in his emotions. This doesn't feel right. How could I do this knowing full well that this could cost his son's life? This was the death penalty perhaps going to be applied here in this situation. And that would be a very difficult call for any father to make, any mother, any family to call on their own children or on their own relatives. But good character always stays the course, even when things aren't as good as you would like them to be. Even when you think things are falling apart, we continue to do the right thing. Good character has its implications in our lives as believers, when people will start to ridicule you for your faith and you continue to do the right thing and you continue to shine the light of Jesus. When finances are low, it doesn't affect tithes because that belongs to the Lord from the very beginning. Good character is implied throughout all of what we do as believers. And it's an easy human trait to decide that it doesn't simply apply to me. And it wasn't just Naomi and her family that had this issue. This was an issue that later on was going to be evidenced even in the life of her great-great-grandson. We find it in 1 Samuel chapter 22. Remember, he's having problems, David is, when he has to flee from Saul. He goes into Philistine territory and there is almost attacked and he's fearful, and so he's about ready to make a fatal decision if it were not for the intervention of God. And it says in chapter 22, verse 1, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress, in debt, or discontented gathered around him and became their commander. About 400 men were there with him. Now think about this. What are we talking about? People with problems that ran from their problems. That's exactly what we're talking about. You owe too much money? Leave the country. You have problems? Run away. He has 400 men that join him in his decision. It's not something that happens just every once in a while. It's the standard in human behavior, but it's not the standard in biblical behavior as believers. And so it says that they all gathered around him. We read on. It says, from there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, obviously, we're outside of Israel now. Would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me? So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. Now, where is the stronghold? We are told in the very next verse, in verse 5, it says, but. You know what but means? Something's about ready to change. But the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Go to the land of Judah. So David left and went to the forest of Hereth. So it's not just Naomi. But what we find is that when we're not people of character, we end up with a bunch of problems around us. David there had a great army, 400 people who could not be counted on. They'll run away in trouble. What a great deal, right? That sounds like the perfect way to start a new army. Well, this is the wrong place, and God sends Gad the prophet to prophesy to David, and he's told, turn around and go back. Well, Naomi doesn't have a prophet show up. She has to wait and see what actually happens. And what happens when we walk by our own sight rather than by obedience to God, we end up walking headlong into problems, into curses. If you will, let me refer you to Deuteronomy chapter 28. That chapter is a chapter that we refer to quite frequently in the fact that God starts off and he says, if you are careful to obey everything that I'm commanding you here this day. And he says, everything. In other words, you're faithful to all. Says, these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Another translation would be, my translation would be, you just try to outrun the blessings and they're going to take you down. If you're careful to obey everything, right? But then he goes on a few verses later and he says, but if you do not obey everything, these curses will also come upon you and overtake you. You can run, but you can't hide. The curses will follow you. And there we find that Naomi and her family are under a curse. How do we know that? She's only there for a matter of 10 years, going to where it's going to be so much better, right? And there her husband and two sons die, and she's left as a widow, childless, with no source, no property of her own because she's a foreigner, and says, what am I going to do now? So things go from bad to worse for her because she didn't stick it out from the very beginning. She wasn't a person of character from the beginning. And so she decides that she's going to turn around. And how bad were things? When she got back, she says this about herself in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 20, don't call me Naomi, she tells the gals in Bethlehem. She says, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. In other words, I am living under a curse. That's what she says. So we could easily define and figure out what the situation of character and the lack of obedience in her life and her family's life had led her to be. It seems that Naomi's life was constantly in this downhill spiral until something happens. And let me tell you what that something is. She came into relationship with somebody of character. It's amazing what people of character can do in a life. They can change you and they can tell you, this is the way that it should be. And so she comes in contact with a person of character, namely her daughter-in-law, who has the book of the Bible named after her. Interesting, here we have somebody that was not an Israelite as a name of a given of a Bible book. Here we are in the book of Ruth, and she was the person of character for this lady called Naomi. And then, you know, let me just share why we can say that she was a person of character. Because the same thing that Naomi and her family went through, now Ruth is going through. Ruth is in a situation where she is now a widow. Ruth is now in a situation where things don't look good in her own life. And she is tempted to cut ties. What it says in Ruth chapter 1 in verse 6, when Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them. In other words, the people who stayed and were obedient were living in blessing. And she says, oh, over there is better now. And so she's going to run that way, right? She and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. If you go into the original text, they all decide they're going to go. Now, you spent time this last week reading the book, and we're not going to take time to read the entire book, although it's short and we probably could do it. How many of her daughter-in-laws went with her? Only one. Only one. Why was this? Because her one daughter-in-law heard all of the situation. She started to analyze it. Mother-in-law comes and says, it's going to be bad for you there. You think that you're going to have hope? I mean, if I were to get married this evening and have a child, would you wait for him to grow up? You're going to end up being worse off. You shouldn't go with me. Could you imagine what the family members of the two daughter-in-laws were coming and saying, oh, why would you do this? You have no, you don't have any responsibility to go with her. You know, you have no children. There's no connection now officially with the family. You're not obligated in any way. All of these words were piling upon. And so what happens? One of the daughter-in-laws decide to turn back and go away, even though she had already committed to going. She had already given her word. She had already planned. She said, I'm going to go. But there was one daughter-in-law named Ruth, and she says, I'm not going anywhere. And you know, this is interesting because some say that Orpah was told to go back by Naomi, but so is Ruth. What was the difference between their two responses? Their character. They said, Ruth says, don't tell me to go back. Stop telling me the wrong thing. I gave my word. And even though it cost me everything, and you know, Ruth would have been thinking about this. I'm going to be in a foreign country without any family because surely my aged mother-in-law will be the first one to die. I'll be all alone. this is going to end up being bad for me. There was lots of reasons for her not to do something. Just like there would have been lots of reasons for the father of this would-be assassin to not turn in his own son. There's lots of things that go on in our mind, but eventually we have to say, but I'm a person of integrity, and I do what is right, and I do what is right because I am standing as a testimony for what Jesus has done in my life, that he paid the ultimate price for me. Who am I to be able to start picking and choosing when to be obedient? I have to be obedient in everything that God is calling me to be. And this is what the response was for Ruth. I don't care what you say. You know what? Well-intending people could give you really bad advice. Naomi comes to Ruth and gives her really bad advice. Good for her that she didn't listen to it. When I had the conversation this last week with the couple that I had to meet with, they responded to me and said, but pastor, at the time, we talked to our pastor, and he suggested doing it this way. And I said to them, I am so sorry that you got really bad advice from a trusted godly leader. You shouldn't listen to it. It's not godly. I had to reprogram, reestablish, and go through scriptures and cause an understanding of when and why we always do the right thing. And this is what was happened, because Ruth had promised, and she was going to do. Ruth was not changed by the words, wasn't convinced by somebody else, because she already knew what she was going to do. And so we can see Naomi was a person that lacked character. She was willing to fluctuate and say, oh, now don't do it, do this and whatever. And here we have a person named Ruth that is a person of character. She decides to go regardless of what her mother-in-law says, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situation. And later on, we see this as the recurring theme for the book of Ruth. If we were to jump into chapter 2 and verse 10, this is when she has been gleaning in the fields of Boaz all day long. Boaz is the very first time going to know who Ruth is, had never seen her before, had never understood who Ruth was, and so on. But he's now comes over and he highlights and he gives her permission to be in the field. And we'll get to that scripture in just a little bit. But in Ruth 2, chapter 2, verse 10, it says, at this point, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? And what's his response? Boaz replied, I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of her husband. I've heard some pastors, preachers say she was a really good-looking girl. That's not what the scriptures say. Now, I don't discount it. She may have been really beautiful, but she may not have been. We don't find that in the scriptures. What we do find is that what catches Boaz's attention is her character. And it says, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. In other words, Boaz says that you would be blessed. Now, what did we already talk about? In Deuteronomy 28, we end up reaping a blessing when we are obedient in everything. And so Boaz, observing the good character of this woman in front of him. Now, don't get me wrong. I think she was probably a very good-looking young lady. Now, why? Because when somebody is beautiful on the inside, it always shines on the outside. And so I can state that emphatically. But Boaz naturally wants to help Ruth because of her character. Even though he was the redeemer that could redeem the family, think about what was natural. Boaz, and we'll be clear about this later on, Boaz was clearly much older than Ruth. Probably a contemporary in the age bracket of Naomi. If he was going to redeem somebody, it should have been Naomi. I mean, after all, we're the same generation, right? But what happens is that that's not the case at all. What we find is that Boaz looks at Ruth and says, you know, who's catching my attention is not Naomi, the one with the lack of character, but Ruth, the one with character, and it had nothing to do with age. Later on, in Ruth chapter 3, verse 9. This is when they're in the harvest, and it's nighttime, and Boaz can't see who it is that's there sleeping at his feet. And so he asks, "Who are you?" "I'm your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." And what is Boaz's response? "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. Again, pronouncing a blessing. And he says, "This kindness is greater than which you showed earlier. You have not run after younger men," obviously implying that he is not the younger man. "You, which are whether rich or poor, and now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask." And notice what he says. "All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character." You're a woman of noble character. People recognize character. You know what? People of good character recognize others with good character. And that's what happens here. Boaz is naturally attracted to Ruth because he too is a person of good character. You know, I'll tell young people all the time, you want a good godly man or woman that you're going to marry someday? Be a good godly person right now, because you're not going to be attracting somebody like that if you're out living wild in the world. There's some that say, "Oh, if I could only have had this good Christian man." Well, where were you for looking? You know? And so Boaz and Ruth are individuals of good character. If we talk about Boaz, because I mentioned we're going to talk about the three individuals, the three key elements. We've talked about Naomi. We've talked about Ruth. Naomi being a person that lacked character. Ruth being a person of noble character in the life of Boaz. If we return toward the beginning part of the story, in chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you." Now, the first thing we meet, we know about Boaz is his interaction with his slaves. How you treat people that you perceive to be less than you speaks a volume about your character. And he shows up and he says, "The Lord be with you." And listen to the response of his slaves: "The Lord bless you." If we were to be able to go back in time and interview his slaves, they would probably give this kind of a report: "I'm so fortunate that God placed me in this household. I can't imagine a better owner. I can't imagine a better master." This was who Boaz was. And Boaz asked the overseer of his harvest, "Who does that young woman belong to?" He didn't know who she was out there in the field. This was Ruth. Out there is just somebody at a distance. And who is that out there? And so what happens? The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So the report is she's been consistent, right? So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here." He says, "Stay put." Isn't that the story, the whole storyline right now, right there? Stay where you're supposed to be. Is she willing to obey? "Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and drink from the water jars the men have filled." Actually, what he told his harvesters is that if she starts to clean and pick out from the sheaves themselves, don't embarrass her. Now, what do we find about the life of Boaz? From the very beginning, He is a person of character. And now, here's what the law of Moses says, that they weren't allowed to put fences around their properties. They had to not harvest to the very corners, because that was going to be for the help of the widows, the orphans, and the foreigners. They were welcome to come in and take what they needed to take to be able to survive. That was the law of Moses. But here Boaz comes and says, you know what? This is the very minimum of the law. I look into it and I see what is being what's happening here. And he says, you know what? Even if she takes from the actual harvest, give it to her. Here he is, a person that obeys in everything what God has said. This is who Boaz is. And from the very beginning, we notice this aspect. And, you know, he's gaining the attention, obviously, of Ruth, because he's a person of character. And so later on in chapter 2, she goes home. Ruth has a mountain of harvest. Naomi says, wow, where did all this come from? Listen to what she says. We're in the wrong portion. Her mother-in-law asked her, where did you glean today? Where did you go work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. What does she say? Blessed. The obedient, the person of character, others are even pronouncing blessings upon them. Blessed be the man. When Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working, the name of the man I worked with today is Boaz, she said. And so what happens? The reputation of this person brings confidence. As soon as Naomi hears who we're talking about, she says, oh, look at this. Look at the harvest you have. Look at what he's done for you. Go back. This is true. You need to be walking in these blessings. And the reputation of a person of character breeds confidence for those around them. A person of character can say something, and it doesn't matter how difficult the situation is. The person that was given the promise is always going to know that they're going to fulfill their word, because they're a person of character, just as God is a person of character. The whole point of this is that the person that is most faithful, the person that is of the greatest character, is God himself. He can never lie. He can never give you a promise and never fulfill it, because it goes contrary to who he is. That would be him abandoning his own identity. His very core, God's core, is a person that always says and does what he says. And that's why we know that the wages of sin is in fact death. Later on in Ruth chapter 3, verse 18, then Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Now, what just happened? This is when Boaz has promised to Naomi, or not to Naomi, to Ruth, that he will go and figure out how to become the redeemer. That's what he said. And he gave all of this food to Ruth, and she went back that night. And Naomi didn't even hear it from Boaz. There were no witnesses that night. Nobody else was there. Our character and reputation ends up becoming evidence for everybody. And you know what? They know that we're going to do what we say. So Naomi says, you know what? He's not going to rest until this happens. She knows better than perhaps Boaz knows himself. He's not going to sleep in today. He's not going to say, oh, you know what? I forgot. Yeah, I'll get around to that. Boaz is going to take care of this. Just sit here and wait. This is what's going to happen. You know what? This is the same thing that we find time and time again throughout the scripture. Paul, when he writes his letter to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or do I make my plans in a worldly manner? That I go by emotion? So that in the same breath, I say yes, yes, and no, no. He goes on to say that in Christ, it's all yes. We need to understand that we fulfill, because God fulfilled his promise. He sent his son to redeem us. And this is why we as his people have to be people of character. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 28, talks about these people of character. He says, do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and give it to you, when you already have it with you. If you owe something, you go ahead and take care of it. This is context for people of character. even though no one had heard that promise, Naomi says, you take that to the bank. He said it to you, even when it was quiet, in the dark, in that place where nobody else heard it, it's done. Because that's what a person of character is like. And so what happens? They're going to walk in a blessing. Later on in the last chapter, verse 11, then the elders and all the people of the gate said, now, I'm assuming that you read through it because we already had this as our text this last week. This is a point where Boaz has already shown up, already had the conversation with the other person that was first in line, already received his sandal, ratifying the fact that this is a done deal. I am the redeeming party here. And so what's the response to the elders who are witnesses to this legal transaction? They say, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. In other words, they say, may you be blessed and your family blessed. We read on a few verses later in verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive. Now, pause for a moment. What does that mean? Well, we know what it means in the literal sense, but the fact that the Lord enabled her to conceive, what was her life like before? Now we have to go back and to think, oh, she was already married and had no children. She was already in a situation where because she was linked to a family that was not of character, walking in that family ended up with curses. She was a person that perhaps we could label as sterile beforehand. But now, because they are walking with the blessings of God on their life, it says the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Now, this wasn't just some son. It says, the woman said to Naomi, praise be the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. Well, how famous could one little boy become? He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. You, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. How is she better than seven sons? Because her family, her natural sons, were people of a lack of character. That was her family line. Now all of a sudden she has a daughter-in-law that comes into her life and is better than seven sons because she's a person of character. People of character are blessed and they bless others. You want to be around people like that and you want to be a person like that. It says, so then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And here we are talking this many generations later, able to highlight God blesses those who are of good character. This was the great-great-grandmother of King David. And when the Messiah was born, what line did he follow through? Same line. People of character end up walking in blessing. I ask the question, when did the blessing actually materialize in our story? Some would argue that it was in chapter 4 at the very end when Obed was born, or at the very end when the transaction is legal and she's going to have a family and so forth. But I would argue the fact. I'd say that the blessings come when the decision is made, when firmness of character is established. The blessing, to me, happened way back in chapter 1, when Naomi is saying, go home. My life is terrible. Your life will be terrible alongside of mine if you follow me. Just go home. And Ruth responds and says, stop telling me that. I'm not going home. I'm going to be with you until death. That was the moment when the blessings flowed, when everything changed, because her life was permanently connected now to a person of character. And we don't know what happened later on, but I think that that character transitioned, transformed, even in the life of Naomi. She doesn't start remind people, say, no, call me Mara, call me Mara. No, all the women are blessing her around her. So she starts to say, oh, this is so important that we be obedient in everything. This is who we are as believers, as a part of the family of God. In 1 John, and I'll conclude with this, in chapter 1 in verse 5, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. If you don't live according to God's standards and you say that you're still a blessed believer, you're lying to yourself. He says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. People of character love to be with people of character. Fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. This is a standard for believers to understand that we have to be people of good character in all circumstances, not just when it feels right, when our emotions are tingled the right way. We do the right thing because God always does the right thing, and he expects us to do the right thing. We have now the ability to do the right thing and be transitioned. Why? Because we are no longer sinners. We have been saved by his grace. We have come in contact with somebody, like Naomi came in contact with somebody named Ruth that changed her directory, changed her life. We, as believers, have come in contact with Jesus, the person of character who didn't shy away even in the moment where it was going to be his own death, because he loved us that much, and now us in relationship with him causes us to be that same people, that we represent him, we walk as he walks, and we live as people of character, doing the right thing, obedient to God in all circumstances. And in so doing, I can make you this promise: you will be blessed. There's going to be a day where you're going to be walking on streets of gold. What greater blessing are you going to have than to stand face to face with Jesus? We're going to be blessed. And we already are blessed. And we're blessed to bless others. And so let's walk that out day by day. Bow your heads with me, if you will. Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus. When we were going in the wrong direction, we could even argue and convince everyone that it was the right decision to do the wrong thing. But you loved us so much. You came to us and you've changed our lives. We've been renewed. We've been transformed because of knowing you, Jesus. Our personal relationship with you has changed everything. So let us be people of character that change individuals around us, that they see in us your character, that you'll do what costs everything to do the right thing. Lord, let us be people who can be counted on, trusted, that our word is as good as gold. And if we've been failures in the past, we've run from our problems, thank you, Lord, that you come to us as you sent the prophet Gad to David. And you correct us and you say, go back, do the right thing. And David came back along with 400 men who also had to face the same problems that they were running from. But they became people of character. And those mighty men of David were of such renown that the world knew about him. Let the world hear about your faithfulness in us, your faithfulness throughout all the generations as we live to proclaim it. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go out of this place faithful people of character that can be counted on in times of stress and in times of plenty. We are his children. Amen. God bless you.